Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Latte of Heaven.
Have you here with me tonight at this new time, which I'm super excited about because I think it's a little bit of a better time for everybody. It's kind of the kickoff of the weekend. Of course, if you are on the East Coast, it's still good evening, just a little later in the evening. If you're on the West Coast, it's the beginning of the evening, so I guess it would be good evening to you as well. And if you're in Australia, it's still the morning, so good morning to you. And wherever you are listening in the world, sending you lots of happy vibes and big hugs. I know the last couple of days have been challenging for people because of the equinox and a lot of things energetically that have been going on. I heard that the Pisces moon was causing people quite a bit of emotions and misunderstandings and those kinds of things. So hopefully tonight you will feel the love and be uplifted. I wanted to speak to you a little bit about spirituality becoming more mainstream. I have been super excited to see that on television there are at least two new shows that I know of that kind of have a spiritual theme to them. And I'm not too big of a television watcher. I do love the music shows. If you follow me at all on any of the social media, you'll see that I'm a big fan of music and a big fan of the music shows because I like to see who's new and what's happening in the music world. But I also, of course, love any show that has anything to do with spirituality or mediumship. So, of course, I do watch Teresa Caputo, the Long Island medium, and the other two shows that have really kind of caught my attention. One of them is called Believe, and it's on NBC on Sunday nights. It's actually about a little girl who has psychic ability, and she's definitely an empath as well. Now, of course, they have to dramatize it and, you know, make things a little bit over the top than what I would say most psychic people or psychic children experience, but it does depict her having these gifts. And, of course, there's an element of chase, and there's the good guys and the bad guys because they need that for ratings. I'm not a big fan of violence, and it is a little bit on the violent side just from the two shows that I've seen. However, they have some really good themes in there, and they touch a little bit on Kabbalah from what I've noticed. They touch a little bit on spirituality in general. Each show does have, as I mentioned, like a thread or a theme of spirituality in it. So I would ask if you're curious about finding out about a show that has these kinds of themes, definitely check it out. It's called Believe, and it's on NBC. I would ask that you support it or at least give it a try because I'm really excited. The more shows that are embraced with these kinds of principles or these kinds of themes that they're touching on, the more it opens doors for more shows to be developed. And that's one of the things that I'm super passionate about doing, actually more of a comedy genre, but definitely something that touches on spirituality. So the more we can support the community as they embrace these things, the more, you know, new things can come out, and the more new people, new kids, young people, everyone can be exposed to spirituality and understanding energy, and hopefully just uplift people and help them through the daily struggles. Another show that I've noticed that's come out, I'm actually super excited about this. It's called Resurrection. I believe it's also on, no, it may be on ABC. It's either ABC or NBC, but it's on the regular networks. And it's actually about people who've passed away coming back to their family. So it's definitely emotional. And it pulls at your heartstrings, but it also touches on, you know, spirituality and those types of phenomenon, and it has amazing actors in it. One of the main actresses is actually Frances Fisher, and I had the amazing pleasure of meeting her in California when I was just there. She is a delightful woman, completely immersed in all of these kinds of spirituality topics, and in support of that, she's also a big supporter of Marianne, who I mentioned last week is running for Congresswoman in Los Angeles. So definitely check out that show. It definitely brought tears to my eyes just because of the overwhelming, you know, desire that you have to reconnect with someone who's passed, and then to show the emotion that someone may have if that person was to miraculously come back. But the thing that I like about the show so far is that they kind of explore many different topics in spirituality as they address the fact that these people have come back. And so far they have a little boy that's come back, and they have a father that's come back. I'm definitely going to be tuning in this week to see what happens next. It's one of those things where it definitely, as I mentioned, pulls at the heartstrings, but you want to see what's going to happen next and how they're going to explain, you know, what's going on and how everyone's interconnected. That's another big theme of the show, which I am super excited about, because I do believe in one way or another we are all connected by a common thread and all part of, you know, a unified race. And the more we look into that, the more we realize that we do have connections, whether it be in this lifetime or past life. So I'm really excited that, you know, the mainstream networks are embracing shows like this. And I would encourage you, as I mentioned, if you do, you know, follow a spiritual path and you are looking for shows that kind of address these things, to definitely at least give them a try, so that more of us out there can develop more projects and more things along these lines. I also wanted to share with you something I don't think I've mentioned before. I have a pretty big platform on the social media called Tumblr, and basically it's a place where you can be creative. There's all kinds of things there, like pictures, sort of like Instagram, but also a lot of poetry and a lot of just written expression, different art forms. Of course, as with any social media platform, it depends on who you're following based on what you're going to see in your newsfeed and that kind of thing. But it is a place, at least for me, where I show a little bit more of my creative side. I also write poetry and write mini blogs about things that are going on in my life. I also update about events and different things that I get in meditation on there too. So if you're not following me on there, I would definitely encourage you to do that. I definitely try to keep it uplifting and a little bit educational. But another thing that I love about that particular platform is you can send me questions very, very easily. There's a on Tumblr where it says, ask the person a question. And you can send me a question about anything that relates to spirituality. I would ask that you please don't ask me for a reading on there, because I can only check the comments probably once a week, and so I may miss it if you're interested in a reading. But also, it's difficult to give readings on a platform like that where it would be public, because I do like to honor confidentiality. So I would ask that you don't ask me for a reading or a psychic question on there, but you can definitely ask about, you know, energy, about auras, about anything that I've written about on there. I'd be more than happy to answer. And oftentimes, because I've had quite a few people recently asking me some really amazing questions, so I'm going to actually use those questions to continue to do my YouTube videos called Psychic in Your Pocket. And this kind of brings me to the next thing that I wanted to talk about, because I was recently talking to a dear friend of mine in England, and we were just talking about, you know, different aspects of our work and everything, and she asked me how the name Psychic in Your Pocket came up. And I told her it happened pretty organically. It was definitely not something that was planned. My close friends used to joke because, you know, they'd be going through something or something would happen in the day and they'd be like, hey, Melissa, what do you think about this? Or, hey, Melissa, I have a feeling on this. What do you think? And I would just sort of say, oh, well, Robin, my guide, or, oh, I have a feeling that you're right about that, or whatever the case may be, I would answer them just very nonchalantly. It was like an everyday thing. And then one day, one of my dear friends said, oh, my God, you're like a little psychic in my pocket, because I have these questions, and you just pop out with the answers, and it just kind of happened every day. And so then, of course, other friends started catching on, and I was getting texts, hey, Melissa, the psychic in my pocket, what do you think about this? And so it kind of stuck. So that's how I came up with the name Psychic in Your Pocket for my YouTube videos. And it actually works pretty well because I want to keep it very centered on answering individual questions that relate to anything with spirituality. And so you're also more than welcome to ask me questions on there, which you guys have been doing a great job of doing. And I plan to hopefully this weekend at least get two or three more videos up. I definitely have a nice group of questions. I just got to take the time to film them, and then you got to fix them up a little bit, and I'll post those. I also wanted to let you guys know that I will start doing the, I was doing something where I chose three YouTube subscribers a month at the beginning of the month. I randomly picked subscribers to win a free email reading. So I will begin doing that again. I had every intention of continuing to do that. It's just been busy with traveling and other projects I've been working on. I got a little bit behind, but I know a couple of you have sent Facebook messages and emails asking if I'm still doing that. So the answer is yes. So if you haven't subscribed to my YouTube channel, please do. It's M as in my first name and then my last name, Heavener 94, and that's my YouTube channel. And so you can ask questions there, subscribe, and then once a month you have a chance to win a free email reading. I also choose followers on my Twitter. So if you're not following me on Twitter, please do so as well. I choose three people from there as well to get the free email readings. And I wanted to say a big, big thank you, because I cannot believe it, but I'm almost up to 50,000 followers on Twitter. This blows my mind, and it's really exploded since I started the radio show. So I just want to say a big thank you, thank you, thank you. And if there's anything that you want me to teach about, if you're interested in a class, if you have questions, like I said, about anything related to spirituality, you can always send me a message on Twitter and kind of get my attention with that. And I really want to be here to serve you guys and to really interact and have just a growing relationship where I can help you grow and help you have strength and good vibes on your spiritual path. So I had to share that with you tonight. And I also wanted to talk about, because I had another very deep conversation with a friend of mine recently, and she was asking me, it was kind of like that age-old question, why do negative things or bad things happen to good people? And this is a question that has been asked for centuries. It's been addressed in, you know, by Plato. It's been addressed in every form you can think of, from religious backgrounds to philosophy to English literature. I, of course, don't have the exact answer for that, but one of the things that I did explore in this conversation with my friend is that sometimes when things happen, it doesn't always relate to necessarily the energy that's going on right now. It could somehow be related to past life. Now, this doesn't mean that if something negative happens to you in this life or you're having a lot of struggles, it doesn't mean necessarily that you did something wrong in a past life or that somebody else did something wrong in a past life. It just means that there could be a buildup of energy that sort of spilled over from a past life and manifested itself differently. But again, it's not necessarily like a form of punishment. It's more of just recognizing that, as I had mentioned, I believe in the last show, whatever we're going through, there's always a much bigger picture than the initial obstacle or the initial problem that's arisen. There's always a bigger lesson. And I really have been focusing a lot this week on the idea that, again, no matter what you're going through, it only takes one molecule of energy to completely flip that struggle, to completely flip that problem and have it work out in the best way possible or work out in ways that you may be trying to manifest. It just takes the belief that it's completely possible and that it really takes even less than an atom to create that kind of shift to really change things around. And with that in mind, I did a lot of meditation this week, as I do every week, but particularly this week because I was having some struggles of my own, which are good because they're times to grow and times to really realize how strong your spirit is, how strong your heart is as far as your spiritual body. And in meditation, I got these amazing messages, and one of them I just had to share with you guys. I think I did make it into a quote and share it on some social media, but one of the ones that really touched me was my guide came through in meditation, and she said this. She said, if you embrace everything with love or try to as much as possible, you're creating light. And light is the energetic manifestation of love. Therefore, if you embrace things with love, even if you're angry, but you give yourself time to feel that anger and kind of work through it, but definitely, you know, once you've kind of expressed it or worked through it, really try to look at the problem that you're having with the eyes of love, with as much compassion as you can. And when you do that, you're allowing light to come in, which is the energetic manifestation of love. And the more you do that, the more your daily life will be surrounded in light. Even when you're in the darkest moment of your life, you'll have that flashlight, you'll have that glimmer of hope because you're really trying to shift the energy or embrace the energy with something loving. And the energy of love and light is so much more powerful than anything dark or negative that you're going through. So if you really try to covet the problem, try to work with the problem with the energy of love and light, you're using the best tools possible to have the best outcome for yourself and everyone else involved. So I thought that was a really amazing message that I got in meditation, because often we see, you know, a lot of spiritual people say love and light when they finish a letter maybe, or when they're posting something on Facebook. But to really understand that light is the energetic manifestation of love, it really shows how the two energies are so interconnected and how the two of them work so well together and are so powerful. So I had to share that with you, because I was like, wow, it sounds simplistic in a way, but then it helps you understand the relationship between love and light. And I'm super excited to connect with all of you. So if you have a burning psychic question, or you just want to connect and get a hug over the radio, then give me a call and we'll take a break in a few minutes. And Mark will give you that information on how to call the radio show, ask your question, just say hi, whatever you're feeling. And I'm super excited to share love and light with you. I also would ask you or invite you to share with me on Tumblr some of the experiences that you've had in meditation or even in your dreams, some things that you've seen. I'm starting to write a new course or a new program for people that want to understand not only meditation better, but if they want to understand some information or some experiences that they're having in dreams. So I'm starting to put that together. I have my notes formulating, but I would love to hear some of your experiences with meditation and with dreaming, where you've either seen vivid colors or gotten vivid messages, and I will incorporate it into my lessons or into what I'll film about the subjects as well. So please send me that information. And I can't wait to talk to you guys, so give me a call.
Okay. I want to let everybody know you're listening to Lattes of Heaven with Melissa Heffner. She's on every Friday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To call in for a reading, please call 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. Back to you for now, Melissa.
Okay. Along the lines of also dreaming or connecting in meditation, I had an amazing experience earlier this week where I was having a little bit of pain in my body, and it's just a regular Tylenol wasn't helping, but I don't like to take anything. I'm very, you know, holistic in my approaches to everything, and I was just kind of struggling, and so I decided to give myself some healing, and I did that, and I actually, in the middle of it, fell asleep. But what was incredible is I had a dream when I fell asleep that two more friends of mine who are spiritual were actually giving me healing, and I really believe or feel in my heart that these two people were probably giving healing as I was in the dream, saw them and felt them so vividly, and I just felt very connected. And it also wanted me to address with you guys the power of just sending good intentions to someone or sending prayer. Even if you're like miles and miles apart, if you do that, even if it's for a few minutes, it can really impact someone. So don't ever dismiss the power of positive thinking, not only for yourself, but for others who may be going through something, because energetically it can reach the person no matter how far away they are or where they are. With that being said, it makes us want to be even more careful, you know, to try to project positivity to people as much as possible, because just as the good vibes and the good positivity can impact someone energetically, the negative thoughts, even, you know, as simple as I don't want to call that person back or I'm annoyed with that person, that all has an energetic imprint, and it impacts someone's, you know, energetic strength or energetic physicality. So it just helps me be more mindful of the thoughts that I'm putting out towards myself and to other people, which brings me to another amazing thing that a friend of mine showed me recently, and it was actually, forgive me, I forget the scientist's name, but there was a scientist who was working with, and he had three different plants, and, well, they were actually all the same plants, but three of them. And for one of the plants, he, like, every day was talking to it and saying, I love you, you're amazing, you're doing a great job, and, you know, all positive feedback. And then for the plant that was in the middle, he basically ignored, didn't say anything to. And then for the last plant, he was saying negative things like, you're no good, you're sick, you're not doing what you're supposed to, just negative things. He was saying to the plant. And so most scientists were thinking, well, it doesn't matter if he says positive or negative things. If he's talking to the plant can then transfer the carbon monoxide and change it into oxygen, and it will be a positive thing. But what was amazing with this experiment is that, of course, as you would think, the plant that he was being kind to and saying positive things just flourished and grew much faster. The one in the middle was kind of stagnant, didn't grow at all, the one that he wasn't giving any attention to. And then, unbelievably, the one where he was speaking negative to, the leaves started falling off, and it really started depleting the livelihood of this plant. And there's other experiments that he's done. I think if you look up the power of, I think it's called the power of words or the power of intention, you'll find it on YouTube. He's done several of them, but the one that I saw had to do with the plants. And I thought, oh my goodness, if words can affect a plant, the energy that you're putting out to a plant who doesn't speak in the same way that we do, can affect a plant in that way, how much impact does our words have on other people? Even if they're not in our presence, but we're sending them out through thought, that's, you know, an energetic caress or an energetic punch. And it just showed the power of words and intention. And when I saw that, I thought, oh, my goodness, like, I want to be more present even when I'm texting, everything, because it all has an energetic impact on someone's well-being. So that's something also interesting that you guys can look up if you're interested in finding out more about that. But it just helps you kind of put into perspective, even, you know, trying to be more positive on Facebook. I know recently quite a handful of my friends have been thinking about, you know, not being as present on Facebook, or even closing their account because they've been faced with a lot of negativity, not necessarily directed towards them, but just people in general complaining or, you know, saying negative things. So just realize the power that words have, no matter what form or how they're coming out. And I think, personally, I mean, I love Facebook. I think it's incredible. But I think it's important that we use it as a portal to uplift and support each other, because there's enough struggles that we have to go through. There's enough negativity that we have to face just as part of our lessons in life. We can kind of use Facebook as a community to kind of help us have an armor against that negativity, or surround us in more loving energies. Then I think it could be so powerful, even more powerful than it already is. So I hope, you know, you guys kind of agree with me. These are just some of the things that I've been talking about this week, so I wanted to share it with you. If you have something along these lines that you'd like to share, or, like I said, a question that you'd like answered, my guide Robin is sitting here with bated breath to hear your questions. And again, she's super excited that the time has changed for the show because it is the start of the weekend. Yay! Robin just reminded me, because she's also talking a mile a minute as I'm talking, another incredible message that I got in meditation this week was also about, you know, if you can really try to live your life with honesty and faith and love in your heart, there's really nothing that the human spirit can't overcome. I know so many people have dealt with just, you know, different things that they're struggling with. And those three things, again, it sounds simple, but they are so powerful. And if you carry them with you together, it's like having the strongest spiritual toolbox or armor that you could have to face anything that's happening in your life. And that was just another thing that came through during meditation. And also, you know, one thing that doesn't cost anything and it's really simple to do is to meditate when you are struggling, because that's when you get in the quiet, you quiet your mind and you get in that quiet vibration and you can actually connect to God or connect to your guides or connect to Source, whatever you like to call that higher power, and get those encouraging messages that can help you deal with whatever you're facing. And I know sometimes, you know, meditation can be challenging if it's something new and people say, oh, I always fall asleep. But usually if you fall asleep during meditation, it means two things. One, you probably needed the rest. And two, you could be going into such a high vibration that it's a little too much for your physical body, and so it causes you to kind of get sleepy. But also realize when that happens, your guides are always and angels are always talking to you. Even if you've fallen asleep, they're talking to your subconscious and connecting with you. So you do come out of it when you wake up or when you realize that you've fallen asleep, you do come out of it stronger. You definitely align your chakras more when you've put the intention out to be in that meditative state. So even if you don't feel like you're necessarily helping yourself or kind of mastering meditation, just trying to do that and giving yourself that time does a wonder of good also. So I had a couple of friends say, oh, it's really easy for you to say meditate and you'll get answers, because you do get answers, but meditation is something that I had to work at too. I mean, it wasn't something that came really easily. I did my first meditation when I was 13, and yikes, this year I'm going to be 38. And so you can see that I've been, you know, doing meditation and practicing certain things for many, many years. So it doesn't just come, you know, easily. It definitely takes dedication, like anything that's worth learning or that helps you in life. You have to put something in to get something out. So don't get discouraged if you fall asleep or if you find meditation difficult. It will come and it will get easier. And the more you practice, even if it's like 5 minutes a day, you say, I want to meditate, and you sit down in the same space if you can, because then you keep the vibration of that area at a certain level. And you sit in the same space for even just 5 minutes a day, you'll find it'll get easier, and eventually the 5 minutes will turn to 10 minutes, and before you know it, you'll be meditating for an hour.
Okay, you ready, Melissa?
Sure.
All right. Nicole, you're on with Melissa.
Hi.
Hi, thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Well, thanks for taking my call. I have a question. The next month, up until the end of April. I have a lot of things to get done for school. I'm in a master's program. And this week I had, yesterday went so horrible, and I had a major breakdown because there were, I just felt like there were so many extra things that came in. So how can I stay calm and focused and understand that I'm going to get through this?
Well,
because if I don't, it's going to be a mess.
Well, one thing that can help a great deal is there's actually a stone or a crystal that's called jade. It's green jade, and it's very good for anxiety, and it's very, very good for helping to deal with stress. And the greener the jade, the stronger the properties. But the trick is that you have to have it somewhere where it's against your skin. So if you can get it either in like a bracelet or even like a little charm of it that you could wear on a necklace that it's against your skin, it definitely helps reduce stress and anxiety. But another technique that can be really helpful, and I know this is going to sound nuts, but trust me, it works, it helps, is if you can get to like a sink where there's running water and put cold water on your wrist, like with your wrist palm up, and let the cold water run on the wrist, that actually slows the heartbeat down. It slows your heart rate down pretty quickly, and it helps, like, if you start to feel like you're going into a panic attack, it can certainly help with that. The key is that you don't want the water to be ice cold, but definitely, like, cool water. And you want it running over both wrists. There's acupuncture points there that actually reduce anxiety and reduce, like, panic attacks and feeling overwhelmed that are in that area. So just having the temperature change of the cold, wet water can help if you're starting to feel, like, a panic attack coming on. One other thing that I've noticed, sometimes a lot of students do this, and I was a student for a very long time, so I am definitely guilty of this myself. But I used to make lists of things that I needed to get done, and it helped me because it made me feel more organized. But in the long run, it ended up causing me to have more anxiety because then I saw a list of all the things that I had to do, and it would feel kind of overwhelming. So if you do make lists, I would say don't put more on the list than three things or even two things, and check them off as you go so that you feel like you're accomplishing something and it doesn't feel like, you know, it's just one thing and then another thing and another thing and you're like can't catch up, because I know how troubling that can feel. And you know, I'm being told by my guide, you're definitely going to get through everything. It's just a matter of really taking that time for self-care. Get the jade for yourself because it will help. And if you start to feel really panicky, just try that cold water technique on your wrist because that will help as well. And I know this sounds really simple, and people say it all the time, but I can't stress it enough. It's so important to just breathe, like to really breathe and focus on your breath and realize, you know, how amazing each breath is that you take in and that you can do that. And if your body is capable of taking that breath and breathing in and out, you're capable of such amazing other things too. But you have to give yourself the oxygen and the time to breathe to have the strength to get through whatever it is that you need to get through, too.
That one, the breathing, I know what you mean because it sounds funny, but I know what you mean because I feel tightness, not excruciating or anything, but I know I have tightness in my chest because I have that tension. And if I do something that relaxes me, all of a sudden I take this deeper breath and it's like, oh, that was a relief.
Yeah, so that's really, really important, really important. And that's actually how using the water that I mentioned, how it helps, because, you know, water, particularly water that's coming out of a faucet, is full of oxygen, and so it gets into the pores of the skin really quickly, which helps to give that feeling of opening the lungs and breathing easier, too. So that's the two reasons why that kind of works. But I can tell you, on a very happy note, you will get through it. And you can't be hard on yourself. I know it's hard as a student because, again, I've been there so many times, and you want everything to be perfect and to do things at a certain level. But all you can do is the best you can, and everything doesn't have to be absolutely perfect. As long as you get it done and the things, you know, try to prioritize which things have more weight or are more important and work on those a little bit harder. But not everything has to be perfect. You just have to get it done.
Yeah. If I want to find crystals in my area, I live in a rural area, but I'm not too far from an urban area. How would I find stores that carry those? I mean, what kind of terms would I use to search to find something local?
If
so I could
actually
see them and touch them.
Well, I would go to, I would just type in crystals, crystal shop or crystal stores, even New Age sometimes, but you have to kind of look at the website, because sometimes if you just put New Age, it'll be a bookstore. So you have to look and see if they carry actual stones or crystals. But if you have a Whole Foods, like a rather large Whole Foods store around you, at least here in Florida, like on the back walls of Whole Foods, they like it's literally the back wall where you have to really look for it, but they have a wall of stones and different crystals there, too.
We have one about an hour away, I would have to travel that far to get to kind of anywhere, so that's not that bad.
And the thing is, you can also get things over the internet. The important thing is if you do buy something over the internet, you want to cleanse it before you use it, because you don't know necessarily, you know, where it was or how it was being used. But you can cleanse it by putting it in direct sunlight for 3 hours or burning white sage around it. And that cleanses the stone, and then it's, like, good as new. So if you need to, you can get it over the internet.
Well, thanks for your help.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Natasha, you're on with Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi, thank you for calling.
Yes, Melissa, I wanted to see if you can tell me what you see coming up for my love life.
Okay, give me 1 second, please.
Thank you.
This is interesting. My guide is saying that there's a lot of new energy coming around, and what I mean is, like, it's like a revival of kind of the love life. I see a lot of positivity, particularly in the month of April. I feel like there's going to be someone coming around that either was part of your life in the past or is part of your life now, but there's really going to be a rejuvenation of a relationship, and there's a lot of positivity around it. It feels as though the other person has either moved or had some big life change that's kind of changed their perspective, and so it's going to be like kind of starting fresh. It literally, because my guide is saying it's like the beginning of spring, it's going to be like a new relationship. But I feel like it's with someone that you have some history with. And it's really going to start to blossom in April.
Okay. So do you see this as being something that's a long-term relationship?
Yes. That's that's one of the reasons why I think it kind of stood out to me that it's going to be rejuvenated or new, because it's going to feel like a fresh start, but it's something that's going to last for quite a long time. It could even be, you know, your last relationship and just last the rest of your time together. So I feel really good about it.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you see something like a marriage or anything, something long-term or a marriage?
Yes.
That's what I'm looking for.
Absolutely. It's just important that even though it's going to feel like a new relationship and, you know, it's going to be good energy around it, it's just important that you, of course, take it slowly and don't kind of get into patterns that you might have had with this person in the past, but really take it slowly and get to know each other even better now that that they've gone through some changes and you have too, and I think blooming into something really beautiful. And of course, you know, long term it would be a commitment or a marriage. Yes.
I'm not really sure who this person is. Can you tell me anything about this person? Like, do you have a description or maybe a line of work, or let me know who this person may be?
Hold on 1 second.
Thank you.
The thing that my dad's saying is that it goes back quite a long time ago, so even maybe 10 or 15 years back. But again, it's like it's going to be like meeting a brand new person because of changes.
Okay.
Hold on 1 second. And I don't know what this means, but my guide is showing me, like, that the person likes to make things with their hands, either like, with carpentry or building things, I don't know, but very handy with their hands. And as I said, it goes back quite a ways, like 10 or 15 years back.
Okay.
And
okay.
I feel like also the first interaction will probably be either it'll be like a random text or it'll over the email or something. That will be the initial like contact. But I see it really starting to take form in April. So next month for sure.
So next month there should be contact. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I love romance. It's so incredible.
I know.
Hey, Melissa, can you connect with Robin and see if she has any messages for me today?
Sure, hold on 1 second. The first thing that came through is patience. She said, just keep having patience like you've been having. And basically the universe is lining up things for your personal life as well as finances. They're very connected. It's like once one falls into place, then the other one will too. And I feel as though, again, the end of this month and April will be very powerful for you in a positive way in that direction. Hold on 1 second. This is interesting, too, because I don't think Robin's come through with this before, but she's saying that the next person that you're in a serious relationship with will be very like financially stable and steady. So that won't be something that you'll have to worry about for that person, but you can, you know, really build your life together, but each being able to stand on your own in that regard. So that's basically what the universe is trying to line up for you.
Is there anything I can do that I'm not doing right now that would help me move along the job search?
Hold on 1 second. No, you've been doing everything just the way you're supposed to. I mean, just continuing to do the applications and you know, be prepared for the interviews. Everything that you've been doing is right. It's just a matter of finding the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, I mean, you're right there because I've been feeling it coming for you for a while. So it's just a matter of, you know, continuing to do what you're doing and be patient, and it's just going to unfold.
Yeah, it's very interesting. We were talking about this last night on the show about, you know, for things to happen, you know, in the third dimensional world, it involves other people being involved and, of course, their free will and their choices. So, you know, it's not unusual, at least when I talk to a lot of different spiritual people, that you hear a lot of people saying that they actually have to kind of sit to the side and just wait, just because of what you said and what Robin had said, and that is it takes time to line up, you know, the perfect relationship or the perfect job and everything like that. It's not as instant as you would think it would be.
Right, because everything is on a certain vibration and they have to be in sync, and then also, as you mentioned, daggone free will. I mean, we can have some control over our own, but we don't over other people. And so, you know, you have to wait for them to be at a certain point too sometimes. So that can certainly throw things off with the timeline. So definitely. Yeah,
I think one of the biggest challenges I have is, you know, the whole patience thing. I had to kind of giggle about that a little bit when you said, oh, you're doing so good with your patience, and it's like anybody who knows me is like, he doesn't have any patience.
Yeah, but I mean, I've known you for a long time, and compared to as I know you now and your energy now compared to when I first met you, I feel like your patience is really expanded. And you've that's one area that you've really grown in, I feel. So I think they wanted me to take that moment to tell you, you know, that you are doing much better in that department. And even with, you know, the whole job situation, you seem as though, I know it can get nerve-wracking, but you seem like you're just kind of taking it in stride and waiting for things to happen, but also being as proactive as you can.
What suggestions do you have when you kind of get up in the morning and you're depressed and you need to kind of climb your way up that ladder of raising your vibration?
Well, the first thing I do when I'm in a kind of stuck like that is try to get into meditation, and if I really can't raise my vibration to meditate, I just, of course, you know, I have such a relationship with Robin, I just say, hey, Robin, you know, I need to raise my vibration here, can you help me? And anyone can do that, even if you don't know your guide's name, just say, okay, I know I have a guide, I know you're there, I may not see you or feel you, but so many spiritual people say that we all have one. I know I've got one too. And just by acknowledging that, you'll start to feel their presence more, as you know very well yourself, Mark. And just asking for that help from not only the guides but the angels, they're just waiting there to help us. So the minute that we ask, they're like at our service to help. And just, you know, breathing is really important, taking deep breaths and connecting with the divine energy that allows us, gives us breath, and realize that it's such a high vibration or energy that created us and gave us the ability to breathe. But if we just take the time to breathe, that's going to automatically raise the vibration as well. I also have mantras that I say daily. Of course, if you Google mantras, a bunch of them will come up, but I have certain ones that are near and dear to my heart that work on a certain frequency, and I say them, and I say them until I really start to feel them throughout my body and in my spirit. And sometimes I have to say them for a good half an hour or an hour before I really feel it, but just doing something like that that's kind of routine or a bit of a ritual that your body gets used to and says, okay, this is going to help my energy, over time you'll just find that doing those things or doing those patterns of spiritual things will help raise the vibration. So that's kind of what I do.
You know, as it regards other aspects of life and some of the challenges of spiritual growth, what do you think is the biggest challenge you've had, and how did you overcome it?
Oh, it's a big one. Wow. I don't think you can necessarily, like, quantify different lessons. I think at different points in your life, certain things feel bigger than others. So I can't say exactly what the biggest one is, because, of course, in the moment that we're dealing with it, the one that we're dealing with feels the biggest. So I think that they're all, as far as quantity, pretty equal. But I just really held on to that belief that I have that, you know, that change is literally a molecule away. And if you believe that it could take just as simple as an air molecule to change everything, and how powerful the universe is. I mean, after all, the universe can create, you know, wind and everything that we experience in life, that it can certainly create that shift that we're looking for to overcome whatever challenges we're facing. But also, it was key for me to really build the relationship with my guide. I know some spiritual people really work closely with their guides. Others work more with the angels, but I have to say, for me personally, my connection with my guide, Robin, has gotten me through everything. And so if you really work towards having a connection with an energy that's higher than you or a higher vibration, it'll do nothing but help you have an army to deal with whatever you're facing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that actually brings up a good point, if you can touch on that for a moment. You know, people like myself and others that are on this call and listening, can you tell us one or two ideas that are really good that we can do as far as exercises for ourselves to increase communication between ourselves and our guides?
Oh, yes. I'm very excited about that. The main thing, as I mentioned, is ask for help and just acknowledge that you know that there's a guide there. And even if you don't feel them or see them, just know we all have a guide. I know that with every fiber of my being. I've gotten that in meditation. I've gotten that, you know, through writing my books. I've had near-death experiences where I got to ask certain questions like that, and I was told that we all have a guide that we incarnate with in each lifetime. And so just acknowledge that there is something there, a higher energy to help you. Of course, there's God or Source also, but the guide is really there to help you day-to-day things, and really, really on a personal relationship, just to help you with whatever you're going through in your life at that moment. So just acknowledging that. And also, even something as simple as, let's say you're running errands and you need to find a good parking space, you can ask the parking angels, because there's angels for every obstacle, but you can also say to your guide, hey, I really need a good parking space. Can you help me out with this? And the more that you ask for help and acknowledge that there is that higher source to help you, the more you'll see and feel their presence supporting you on a day-to-day basis. But also, another really good thing is I love crystals. So using the clear quartz crystal is very good. If you just have a piece of it and you hold it in your hand, close your eyes and say, I know that I have a guide or a higher power that's helping me. I really want to feel more connected. Can you please come in? And actually the clear quartz energy or vibration brings them in closer to your physical energy body. So that will help you feel signs or feel a sensation on your body to let you know they're there. It's also important to ask them to give you a sensation on your body in the same place each time you're trying to connect. Because I remember when I was really young, I didn't always see Robin, but I knew that she was there. But depending on my vibration and how connected I was at any given moment, I may not physically see her, but I wanted to feel her. I wanted to know that she was there. So I started each morning, I'd close my eyes and I'd say, okay, I know you're here with me. Please give me a sign or please let me know. And sure enough, I did that every day for, I think it was about 2 weeks, and I started to notice that I felt a tingling sensation on my face, but it was on the left side. And still to this day, Robin always is on my left, like always. She never leaves the left side. And so even if I'm not feeling well and I can't particularly see her, I can feel her on the left side because we have that understanding that if I really need to know, feel, or feel her presence, that she can do that. And I know that when I feel that, that's her. So just being consistent and being very straightforward with the guide, letting them know that you want that contact and they will respond. And just doing that faithfully until you start to really feel the presence. But you're not going to notice them around you or feel them helping you until you make more of a conscious effort to ask them so that you have the awareness that they're giving you signs that they're there.
Well, this probably goes hand in hand with what you were just talking about how you asked Robin to give you some type of physical example or presence or a certain position. And it goes with the idea of, can you ask for validations or signs, and how would that look? Like, can you say, you know, I want to see a deer. Well, of course, I'm in Florida. I don't know if I'm going to see any deer here. So,
yeah, I mean, you have to kind of ask for something that kind of easily access. A perfect example of that is I was doing a reading for someone recently, and she really wanted to know if her loved one was around her. And she said, I keep asking my loved one that passed, I keep asking them to send me a shooting star, if they're around, to send a shooting star. And what was so funny is in the reading, her loved one showed me a shooting star. So I said, I don't know why, but the loved one's showing me a star shooting across the sky. And so, of course, she said, oh, my God, that's what I asked her for all the time. Well, in the physical sense of the universe, it would take a lot of energy for a loved one or a guide to create a shooting star because you have to have the galaxies and the stars aligned in a certain way. I mean, it just takes a lot of alignment. So that's a lot to ask. But realize that if you're asking for a sign like that, her loved one was constantly showing her beautiful sunset and giving her the image of, or showing rainbows all the time. So she wasn't able to create a shooting star, but she was using the sky to let her loved one know she was there. So if you're in a place like you and I in Florida where there's amazing sunsets and amazing rainbows can appear, then ask your guide to show you something, to use the sky, something that would be very, I guess, easier in a sense in Florida. Again, like you said, to ask for deer, that's kind of hard because we don't see too much deer roaming around in Florida. But ask for something that would be easier to demonstrate in the environment that you're in. You could ask for, I ask a lot of times for hearts, to see hearts. And what's crazy is I'll see hearts in the craziest places. Like the other day, a friend of mine, she was just brushing her teeth, and a piece of her hair fell out on the sink, and it was shaped like a heart. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I'm constantly asking to see hearts, and I knew that that was a sign. Because who would think of a heart, you know, landing on the sink like that? Or a heart, I see hearts in, like, stones that are on the ground. So you can ask for something that's a little more, I guess, generic, like a heart. If you're in a place that's really tropical, ask for a rainbow. Things that would be easier accessed in whatever your environment is. But realize that spirit is definitely more abstract. So sometimes when we get something in our mind, we're thinking, we want to see a shooting star. Well, they may not show you a shooting star, but you might look down on the ground and see one of those gold stars that we used to get in school if we did well with our schoolwork, or a star-shaped rock on the ground. That may be their version of a shooting star. So just be open to how they bring that sign forward for you.
Well, thank you for a great show, Melissa. And, of course, everybody, remember she's on every Friday from 8 to 9. Eastern Standard Time. And thank you, Melissa, and have a great night.
You too. Happy weekend, everybody. Bye.